Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Madaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak at Shalom. We're now in Masechet Bava Batra Daf Nun Amud Bet, taking another look at the exclusion clause from Mishnah Dalet that it presents those classes and relationships that are not able to have a chazaka. And we already looked at V'lo Le'ish Chazaka B'Nichse Ishto, and we looked at the issue of Kinyan Perot. And now we have another piece to the puzzle. V'ha'amar Rav Eshet Ish Tzricha Limchot. Rav issued a dictum that an Eshet Ish does have to protest if someone's on a property. Now, that means that whoever's on a property can get a chazaka. The man, who is it she's protesting against? Who was Rav referring to? Ilim Abacher, if we think it's an outsider. V'ha'amar Rav Ein Machzikim Nichse Eshet Ish. Rav issued another dictum that said, you cannot be machzik in a married woman's property, and the reason is because she assumes that you were there by permission of her husband, and therefore she wouldn't protest your presence. Allah Babala must be that when Mirav said Eshet Ish Tzricha Limchot, she was referring to a woman protesting against her own husband, which means a husband can have a chazaka on his wife's property. So Mirav Ali Olam Babala, so Rava says you're right. Maybe it's a situation where the husband wasn't just on the property eating up the proceeds, which is the issue of Kinyan Perot, which we already dealt with, but rather he started digging in trenches and damaging the property. That she has to protest against, lest it look as if he owns it. Which we're right now interpreting as meaning that an act of damage doesn't constitute chazaka. The answer is Ema in Din Chazak Lenazaki. No, interpret it differently, the way we've already seen it, which is you do not have the rights to claim that I've had a status quo of being here and causing damage for X amount of time, and therefore you can't dislodge me. That's what En Chazak Lenazaki means. So now, Ibait Ema, the other way to answer it is Lavit Mar Larav Maria Mar Bekutra Zvita Mar Beveta Kisei. We already had two applications of the rule of Inchazak Lenazakin, that it applies specifically to very noxious damages like smoke or like privy, as opposed to just any sort of damage like digging a trench. Right? So that means that we are back to saying that if the husband is digging a trench in her property, then she does have to protest, so it doesn't look like ownership. Right, that's one take. Rav Yosef Amar Li Olam Be'acher, he says, no, what Rav is talking about when he says that an Eshet Ish has to protest is protesting against an outsider's presence. What's the case? That this outsider was there for some period of time while the husband was alive. Then the husband died and he was there for another 3 years. And now, she has to protest his presence because he could be machzik. Why me go diboy amarle anaz vinta minach? He could argue and say, I bought it from you. Ki amarle nami adz vinta le vizavna niali. When he says to her instead, rather, you bought it and then sold it to me, Meheman, then he's believed. All right, so therefore, this got to be believed, and therefore she has to protest. Okay, now, Guf Amar Rav, Ein Machzikim Nichse Eshedish. So Rav said that you cannot make a chazaka against an Eshed, Nechosim of an Eshedish. But Dayane Gola, which is Shmuel and Karna, Amru Machzikin. They said that you can. Amar Rav halacha k'dayanei golan. Rav acceded the point. Amru le Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi l'Rav. They said, Hadarei mar mishmate? What, all you're doing is backing off? You said that they disagree with me and halacha follows them? So Amar lehu mistabra amri k'Rav Yosef. What Rav answered them was the case that we later attribute to Rav Yosef, which is this case where somebody was machzik a little bit during the life of the husband and 3 years afterwards. Rav Yosef obviously wasn't quoted by Rav, like Rashbam points out, he's several generations later. But what it means is that what Rav meant, or what Rav explained that wasn't totally taken here, was that he agrees that machzikim nechseish eshedish, when it's that kind of circumstance, where some of it starts while husband's alive, and then is another 3 years later. Okay, now, the next and final clause in this part of the Mishnah is V'lo le'isha v'nichse ba'ala. Sorry, the final clause is what we'll get to in the next podcast. but a woman cannot be machzik in her husband's property. So pshita, kevan to eat le mazoni, since she has mazonot, mazoni hudakachla, any food that she's taking off the field, any proceeds she's getting from the field, are her own mazonot, and her presence doesn't mean anything about ownership, and there's no reason for him to protest. So lo tzricha di yichet la'arachrit le mazona. If the husband set aside and designated some other property for her to take for, collect for mazonot, and then she's on this property, that might be a chazaka, if we have to say that it's not. Now, haraya yesh, remember our rule that we've worked with, Rav Huna's take, that we've worked throughout this Mishnah, which is none of these people can be machzik, but if they do have a raya, if they have proof that they bought the property, that's valid. Now, that means that if the woman comes with a shtar that the husband sold her the property, then it's valid. So lema ligluya zuzi hu deboi. Maybe the husband was suspected her of hiding money and agreed to sell her the property just to have her show the money and didn't really mean to sell it. And there is such a thought out there, and let's see where it goes. Shamat mina hamocher sada liishto kanta v'lom rinin ligluya zuzi hu deboi. So this settles the problem that if a man sells a field to his wife, it's a valid sale, and we don't say that he's just doing it to try to discover her hidden cache of money. So that's not necessarily the case. Lo, ema haraya yesh bishtar matana. So maybe we'll take Rav Huna's general inference about our Mishnah, that chazaka doesn't work but raya works, but in this case, it would only be if it was a shtar matana, meaning if the woman came with a shtar that she bought the field, we may say to her, and the husband may argue, I only did that to have you show your cash. But if it was a shtar matana gift, then it would be valid. Now, I'm Rav Nachman Rav Huna. Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna, the master was not with us last night in the Beis Medrash, to Amrina Mili Malaita. We said, really nice Torah. Amar my Mili Malaita Amritu. So he said, what was the nice stuff? Amocher Sadali Ishto Kanta. Vomenil Gulei Zuzi Hudaboy. So Rav Nachman said, what we taught was that exact statement, which is that if a woman has a star mecher on a field of her husband sold to her, we say it's valid. We don't say he was doing it just to try to have her expose her hidden cache of money. So Marle Pshita, Rav Huna said, there's nothing new. I didn't miss anything. Dal zuzi mihacha b'tikne mishtar. Even if there is no money here, there's still a shtar. So without the money, the transfer is good. So milo tan chasim shishna machar in kumasa b'chatar v'chazaka. We say, the Mishnah in Kiddushin, that real estate can be bought with a shtar. Marle Nachman said that actually it was a big deal. V'lav itmar lamar shmuel oshanu ela b'shtar matana. Didn't Shmuel himself say that the only time that a field can be bought with a shtar is a shtar matana? Meaning, when do we say that the field becomes the buyer's? In the case of a shtar, it's only if it's a shtar matana. Of a shtar mecher, lo kana shiten lo dameha. But if it's a shtar mecher, then the field does not become his until he pays for the field. V'la motir Rav Hamnuna, Rav Hamnuna had already challenged Shmuel, because the Braita says, b'shtar ketzad, Katav law in the Yaro, Hacheras of Bisha in Bashar Pruta, Sadim Churalach, Sadik Nundach, Harizum Churalan Tuna. How does shtar work? If you write on a piece of paper or a shard of pottery that's worth less than a Shavaprutas, so there's no kesef here. And it says, my field is sold to you or my field is acquired to you, it's valid, which means that even in a shtar mecher, the shtar itself makes it and not the money. So Shmuel has already been disproven. So therefore, Rav Huna's point is still valid to Rav Nachman, which is, last night you guys didn't say anything very special. Because after all, if a husband sells his wife a property, and she has a shtar mecher, even without the mechira, the shtar itself makes the kinyan. So, v'lav hu moti v'lav hu mefarik la, but Rav Hamnuna himself, who challenged Shmuel, came up with the answer. Mocher sadeh mnei ra'ata, if you're selling your field because it's lousy, because the property's bad, then you want to get rid of it right away. In which case, the shtar mecher is valid right away, even though you didn't get the money yet. But normally, when you sell with a shtar mecher, we accept Shmuel's position, which is that the kinyan is not valid until you receive the money. Which means we're back to the position of saying that Rav Nachman's point is that there really was something pretty fabulous taught, and it was not so obvious. And we do not say that the husband was selling it to her in order to expose her hidden cash. Rav Ashi Amar, he has a different take. Matana bikesh litnola. When she has a shtar mecher, really he wanted to give her a shtar matana. We should understand it as a shtar matana, and that's why it works. V'lama katav lo b'loshem mecher. So why did he write the shtar as a mecher? Kedeli apot kocho, in order to improve her chances of collection. Right, which means if it's shtar mecher, say the claim against lekuchot, etc. Okay, Meitavei, we have a challenge as follows. Lav mina ben shichro. This is a challenge against the whole thing of legalot zuzim. Let's say you borrowed from your own Eved and then you freed him. You borrowed from your wife and then you divorced her. And then I love klum. They have no claim against it. My time. What's the reason? Isn't the reason because he was just trying to expose, he claimed that the Eved had hidden money and the Eved said no, so finally agreed to borrow from him. Same thing with his wife. And so really he didn't end up borrowing the money at all. He just wanted to prove that he had the money and therefore they have no claim against him. So doesn't that prove that sometimes when a person sells something, they're not selling it in order to sell it, but they're selling it in order to demonstrate that the buyer really has some hidden funds? The answer is no. That's different because in the case of a man with his slave or a case of a man with his wife, he doesn't want to be enslaved to somebody who is subservient to him. And therefore we assume that he really didn't borrow from them. Alright, but in a normal case, we wouldn't say that. Now, Shalach Rav Huna Bar Avin, so he sent the following question. Hamocher Sadeh Le Ishto, if a man does sell a field to his wife, Kanta Uvalochal Perot, that the sale is good and the husband eats Perot. That was his statement. However, all the Gedolei Ador, this is the Meretz Yisrael, said, really, like Rabash said, he wanted to give it to his matana. Why did he write it as a mecher? Again, to give him more power for collection from Lekuchot. That's why he wrote it the way he did. So, we have the following challenge that we already went through. Love and Avid, Shechor ben Eishav, Gersha, and then Love Klum. I told him, Shum Dam, Amri, the Gluiz, Uzi, the Ba. Don't, isn't it because we say he's really trying to expose their hidden money? So why don't we say that when a man sells a property to his wife, it's not a Kenyan at all? The same answer that we just gave. Okay. Now, we're going to pick up on that same Rav Rabban Huna. Amarav, Hamocher Sadeli, Ishto, Kanta. If a man sells a field to his wife, the kinyan is valid, and like anything else she owns, he has a kinyan perot on it. If he gives her matana, kantava in a balochel perot. He doesn't have perot on it. Now, Rabbi Lazar in Tveria said, echadzeh ve'echadzeh kantava in a balochel perot. In both cases, the kinyan is valid, and in both cases, the husband does not get perot. He gave that up when he gave it to her, sold it to her. Now, Avad Rav Chista in Bavel, Rav Chista paskin halacha uv the korbalazer. He paskin the korbalazer in the case of a shtar mecher, where a man sold the field to his wife and he didn't allow the husband to have payroll from it. So, Amalei Rabban Ukvav Rabban Nechemya bnei Bante de Rav le Rav Chista. So, Rav's grandsons said to Rav Chista, Shavik mar Rav Ravi va'avi kizutri, you've ignored the great one and done like the small one. And of course, this is a play on Rav Ravi referring to Rav, which is their grandfather. You've left Rav's opinion and you're doing like Elazar, who was a student of Rabbi Yochanan, or shall we say a younger chaver of Rabbi Yochanan in Tveria, and Rabbi Yochanan and Rav are considered to be sort of collegial. So Amar Rav Chista said to them, va'ananami k'Rav Ravi avdi, I've also done like great ones. V'chi'ata Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Again, a play on words that Ravin, Rav Ravi, was the one who brought the report from Rabbi Yochanan about his position. Rabbi Yochanan, of course, was the master in Tveria. Echadzeh ve'echadzeh kanta ve'ena balochel perot. So he had a position very much like the position of Rabbi Elazar. And in both cases, the husband does not get perot. Amarav Hilchata Mocher Sadela Ishto Lo Kanta V'Habal Ochel Perot. Rav said, though, the halacha follows Rav. V'Matona Kanta V'Ena Bal Ochel Perot. Now, wait a second, Tarte. How can you say Amocher Sadela Ishto Lo Kanta? There is no kinyan at all. V'Habal Ochel Perot. That's a contradiction. By the way, that's not Rav's position. Rav's position is Amocher Sadela Chaver Ishto, the kinyan is good, and he gets perot. V'Matona, the kinyan is good and doesn't get perot. But here, Rava said the halach is, if you sell a field to your wife, lo kanta, then the kinyan is no good, and habalachel perot. So that's contradictory itself, besides doing an end around both Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Tarte, so lo kasha, kan b'ma'ot munin, kan b'ma'ot she'en tmun, enan tmunin. If you have money that's buried, in other words, she pays with money that was buried, then we say the kinyan is no good at all. Lo kanta, because he's trying to expose it. But if she pays with money that's readily available and we know she has, then he meant to make a regular kinyan, and then ochel perot. De amar of Yehuda, ma'ot munin lo kanta, ma'ot she'nan tmunin kanta. Good. All right, so we will pause at this point and pick up at the in the next piece, the Brighta that we're going to see here at the bottom, Nun Aleph Amud Bet. In the meantime, though, everyone should have a wonderful day.